Well, hello everybody and welcome. Welcome to another edition of the Words, Women and Wisdom radio show. Today, streaming live from BBS Radio in Dallas, Texas. And I am joined with my guest, who I will formally introduce in just a moment, Amina Mohammed. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me to do this, especially on Giving Tuesday.
Giving Tuesday, it comes once a year. And hello, listeners. We don't want to only be giving once a year, right? I would like to promote the concept of having a daily gratitude practice. And part of that is not only being grateful for, what's showing up in your own life, but also what's one small thing that you can do any day of the week, every day of the week, for someone else to put a smile on their face. It really is a great way to lift your own vibrational energy. And then you'd be amazed, the magic of the universe, what happens and what comes your way. When we give,
Absolutely.
we receive. It doesn't always happen in the same day, but it's energy. That's what we're putting out to the universe. So great that you could join us today. Excuse me. Today is a live show. So grab your pens and paper because it's not every day that you get the opportunity to dial in with live questions to ask a guest, especially a founder. We're actually both based in Canada today, so this is an international show, and Amina will share why in a minute. However, we're both based in Canada. I'm in Calgary, Alberta, at the base of the Rocky Mountains, and Amina, you're just outside
I'm
Toronto.
outside of Toronto, about 90 minutes north.
Right. Okay. So for those who didn't have a chance to read the full bio, I was delighted to connect with Amina recently. Amina Mohammed is a storyteller, and she has now taken her passion from the age of 10, and she'll share more about her story, her passion for photography, and really tapping into what she was passionate about, into something that is now a worldwide phenomenon. She is helping hundreds, actually thousands, we'll get into that during the story, of women globally to find an opportunity for them to have more confidence, for them to have an income, for them to be working, contributing members in their society, hugely valuable work. So I want you to be basically aware of this beautiful group, Cameras for Girls. Amina's going to share her story in just a moment. So, by way of an introduction, since founding this Canadian charity, which is now, let's see here, 2018 was the founder, she's empowered, actually, although it says, I think, 89 in your bio, we shared it was over 1,000 recently. Women across East Africa and several other countries through her year-long four-phase curriculum, which is all about covering photography, camera operation, ethical storytelling, we'll get into that, and business building skills. So what she does is equips young women to secure paid work. Now, this is paid work very often in a male-dominated environment. So training countless African women to help them to share their stories and have an income. She's a fervent advocate for the storytelling, ethical storytelling, to really be move beyond this colonial mindset that still exists. Recently spoke at several other events, including the Vital Voices Leadership Summit, and is amplifying the women's voices now across America and other countries, and also with a recent Estée Lauder Beautiful Forces grant. She's planning to expand her impact in Uganda, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. So today is all about looking through the lens, changing women's lives in Africa. So, welcome, Amina. I'm so glad you could join us.
Thank
Listeners,
you.
I'm sure you're going to have lots of questions. So, here is the dial-in number to make a note of. It's 1-800-627-6008. And if you can't get through on that toll-free number, perhaps from Canada you're dialing, you can also dial direct 1-323-744-4444. 4831. And I'll repeat those numbers a little bit further as we get into the show. So make sure that you have your generous hearts as you're listening to this episode today, because as I said, today is Giving Tuesday, and it's a great opportunity for you to make a contribution, make a donation to help more girls around the world get this powerful training and get employed. There's a backstory here. So, Amina, I am curious. This started off as a passion for you as a young girl, and our show is all about women who've, risen from tragedy to triumph and are now out in the world doing powerful work, especially that work that impacts others. Either it's a social enterprise, it's a not-for-profit, a charitable organization very often, or it's making noise, it's making a difference. And your work certainly is. So how did
Thank you.
this idea get started?
Well, we're my I'll take you back to the beginning. So my family and I came to Canada in 1972 as refugees from Uganda. We were thrown out with over 50,000 other Indian Asians who were born in Uganda within 90 days' notice. I was three, and that really shaped what my life was like. We grew up in Canada with very little. Most refugees, immigrants, you struggle to either find your place or find a footing. And we struggled for many years. But the one thing my family taught me, or my parents taught me, was no matter what you don't have, always think of somebody else who would be worse off than you, and always be willing to give back, pay it forward. So that was always in my heart. I graduated from high school and I went into fashion design, and it wasn't really working out, and I ended up working in film and television. So I had an amazing 15-year career, and as you said, I picked up my camera at the age of 10. It was just something. My dad had given me his camera at the age of 10, and I saw the world through this camera in a very different way. I'd carry that thing everywhere until I burned out the motor on it. And then I graduated to his SLR. Again, I burned out the motor on that, and I kept on going. But I never thought at the time that I could make a career of this. Number one, because I lacked confidence in my skills and abilities. I just never thought it was for me. So I was working in film and television, and during that, I went into the documentary area. And my first documentary, I thought, this is my opportunity to go back to Uganda and tell the story of the Asians, the Indians who were returning back to Uganda to claim what had been taken from them. And but also to discover our roots. So I went with a camera and a microphone and dreams and hopes to turn this into a documentary, which never, came out of anything because we lacked money. But what it did teach me was that we do not all live the same life. Here I was thinking that how I was living, other girls were living. And you live very insular when you don't travel or when you don't get out and see how the other half lives, especially in the developing world. And it shocked me to my core is not just the poverty, but the plight of women and girls. I was meeting women and girls who were telling me stories on camera about how they were denied an education simply because they were born a girl, or had dreams and hopes to do things that I wanted to do, or I had opportunities to do, and just because they were girls, they were, denied. And I couldn't tell you how angry I came home. And I had a purpose inside of me that I wanted to make a difference. I just didn't know at the time how to melt that world with the new world that I was going to, pour all my heart and soul into. And I left film and television after 15 incredible years, and it's been 15 years and I still miss it. But not the hours, because they were crazy. And I went into a different area, and it was that move into a different area where I was making tons of money and winning awards, but was miserable at the end of the day, that was the catapult for me to launch something that where I could give back my passions, my skills, and as a storyteller, as a photographer, filmmaker, to a girl who wanted to develop her voice. It's all about building that voice, building their confidence, whether she's going into communications, whether she's going into photojournalism, journalism, something media related. If I could do it, why couldn't she? If I could just open up the door for her.
That's why we have this show.
Right? And that's where it all started.
Yeah. That's exactly why this show airs, because very often as women, we're always giving, 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 right? With wearing the multi hats, baby on one hip, stirring supper, phone in our neck, multitasking and giving, giving, giving. And yet there comes a point where we need to give from a point of overflow, not from our source energy. And I speak from personal experience last year when I was in a position where I was giving from my source energy and my light got very, very low. That's a whole other story, not for today. However, ladies, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, I have this little gnawing feeling, or I have a big gnawing feeling, or my belly is upset, or my heart is pounding really fast right now, pay attention to what your body's telling you. As a Venus, right? She knew she had this gnawing inside her that she was here for a greater purpose, and she took action on it. And you don't have to have the whole plan all laid out. Just what is the first step? Step into it and see how you feel. If you continue to feel good, great. Keep
Yeah, keep
going.
going.
Keep going, right?
Yeah,
So,
write it down and pay attention to the feelings as you're writing it down and what it inspires in you, because what you put on paper is not always what you end up with.
that's right. And the universe, I'm a spiritual person. I'm not religious. I'm very spiritual though. And I believe in the power of manifestation. I believe in the power of paying attention to what's coming towards you versus chasing things. I heard a beautiful quote the other day from one of my colleagues, Sharla Brown, who's the Fearless Women's Foundation that I've spoken at. And she said that, stop pushing against the door to success. It opens inwards. I thought, oh, that so resonates with me, because it is about an inner journey. It's about staying aware, seeing what's coming, noticing the coincidences, because there are no coincidences, right? If something's coming towards you, three or four times, now it's on your radar. It's the universe saying, hey, pay attention, right?
And if I can add one thing, people are going to tell you all sorts of things when you start. Like I got comments like, you're crazy, even from my family, or that's stupid, that'll never work. Ignore it. Just keep your head down and keep going. Because if you in your heart have something that you want to make a difference with, it's you who has to listen to you. You don't have to listen to anybody else's feedback at the beginning, and surround yourself with people who have an abundance mindset, not a scarcity mindset, because that's going to make the difference in how you also roll out your idea, right? Surround
Absolutely.
yourself, like it's that, what is that saying? You surround yourself with the people that you want to be, and
Yeah.
they'll uplift you as you will uplift them.
Exactly. Those who help, rising boats, rising tide helps all boats, right? It's really, really important, as you shared just now, to build your community, because starting a business is kind of like having a baby. Everybody has an opinion, right? What you should be doing, how you should get them to sleep, how you should, whether you should be breastfeeding or whatever. And if you listen to all of those opinions, you'll never get anything done. So it really is about saying, yes, great idea. Thank you for your opinion.
Thank you for your opinion.
I'll keep that in
Exactly.
mind, right? That's all we have to say. We don't have to say we're going to act on it. We don't want to say, oh, well, that's a crappy idea because, right? Then that starts, some aggravation not required. It's like, you get a dinner party invitation, and you really don't feel that's a good fit for you. All you have to say is, thank you. Actually, I appreciate the invitation. I already have plans that evening. Don't go into the long story of what they are, because otherwise the other person's going to say, oh, well, that's not as important as my event. And then again, it's unnecessary. Stand in your power. Use your language. That's my forte and my passion. What I'm all about is using confident conversations, powerful words for women. And we don't have to explain. We just have to state, thank you. I appreciate the invitation. I already have plans, period. So let's talk a little more about what's evolved since you started this idea and what you're up to now, because it's been a little while, right? 2018 to now.
2018, yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. When I started, I thought I'm just going to do Uganda until we started. And I'll just go back a little bit. So our program, what it does is we work with young women who are either in university journalism programs or have graduated and can't find work in male-dominated media spaces. And we chose to go after journalism and, the media space, number one, because that's the space that I was in. And number two, because these girls are told, well, you don't own a camera, you don't know how to use it, you can't have the job. Whereas men
Right.
don't have that same requirement. And that was another thing that ticked me off. And I was like, wait a second. There's not only a barrier to learning or getting the education or finishing or getting the right skill set, but now they have to have another barrier put on them, which is a tool like a camera.
Right.
So when I started designing cameras for girls, it was always with the end in mind, getting the jobs and then working backward. What is the barrier to that? Well, camera is one thing and skills are another because they're
Yeah.
coming out of theoretical university programs. Okay,
Right.
great. So now we have our structure. And as I said, I thought I'd only be in Uganda, but my vision is to be impacting 30,000 women in seven African countries by 2030. And that does not include the other women who are coming from, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Jordan and other places who want to also learn. And all they need is their own phone or their own smartphone, and they can jump onto our online platform. So
Right.
that's an aside. But what we do is we then give her a camera and we teach her how to use that camera. So we start with a 4-day workshop, and that's in the country. First 3 days are in the classroom where she has maybe never touched a camera or maybe a few times, and yet she's supposed to go and get a job and know how to use it. There's a huge disconnect. So
Yeah.
we teach her how to go from, okay, here's your camera, and here's how to put it into manual by day three. And day four, we jump into community with a fellow organization, like an NGO or a nonprofit that is country-based, not an international organization that has the funding to tell their own stories, but a smaller community-based organization that lacks the funding to get their stories told. So it's a
Right.
win-win,
Win-win.
because
Yeah.
right? Because that organization now gets free stories told by our girls and photos, and our girls start to build their portfolio of work because it's a whole day surrounding that ethical storytelling, which you mentioned, which in essence means that I am coming into your community. I am asking your participation in telling your story the way you want it to be. And the consent part is we don't just stick a consent form in front of you and say, here, sign. We explain in your language of understanding, either through our way of speaking to you, like in the same language, if our students speak your language, or through a guide, word for word, as to what you're actually signing. You're understanding where your images are going to be used, how they're going to be used, your participation in telling your story. How do you want to be referred to? Do you want to be referred to as a community partner, a beneficiary, which I don't like that term because it's steeped in colonial language. And we go through this whole exercise. So the ladies that are with us or the girls that are with us understand that they're not just building their portfolios, they're building their storytelling muscles.
Right.
And they're building something that, women who've not come through our program don't have. So they're more competitive when they go out to get jobs.
Excellent.
So
It
we
is.
finish the, it's a very unique program. And that 4-day workshop turns into a year-long online journey. So now every week I teach Fridays online on Zoom, and these girls can join from everywhere. We talk about photography, we talk about ethical storytelling, we talk about business skills. I have guest speakers who come and talk about everything. We incorporate mental health skilling into our work as well, because a lot of them struggle with mental health because they're living in patriarchal societies that tell them every single day, well, no, you shouldn't be in school, you should be married. Well, no, you shouldn't be working, you should be taking care of the kids. Well, the list goes on. And
Yeah.
how And we struggle with that in the modern or the developed world. how the hell are they not going to struggle with this? So we want to make sure that it's a holistic program that serves them at every core. And
Right.
finally, I'll add that we don't design this in silo. We're constantly asking them, does this meet your needs? Or are we not meeting, what are we not doing that needs to meet your needs? And then we're, tweaking and we're adding, or we're taking things away that don't work. So when I started, it was a 3-day workshop, and then we didn't do the online every 2 weeks because I didn't have the capacity. Now we're online every week, or have guest speakers to support me, and we have an online learning hub so that they miss the live show. They can go and watch 24/7 all the video content that they want and keep on learning. And for the girls in our program, their only requirement to keep that camera is they must do their monthly assignments, which further feeds into their portfolio, and share bi-weekly photos with me to show me that they're actually using the camera to improve their storytelling skills.
Excellent. It sounds like such a great opportunity. So how do, other than being on a, listening in and hearing a show like this, how do they find out about their organization?
So when we go into a new country, we partner with a university, a journalism university. So when we recruit, we're recruiting through the university itself. So they're putting out the application, and then we're vetting the girls for the final choice. Usually it's 15 girls per cohort in each country. And right now we're in Uganda and Tanzania. Next year we'll be in Kenya. But next year in Uganda, which is what we're raising funds for right now, we're going from 15 to 75 girls. And that's because we got an incredible grant from Estée Lauder, which is going to get us halfway there. And then this fundraiser is going to hopefully get us the rest of the way. And so, how we're doing that is we started to train the trainer program this year. So, we took
Brilliant.
five former students who've done the year-long program and who are working, and now are over 6 months have advanced their storytelling skills, advanced their photography skills by pairing them one-on-one with a mentor. And then we've included leadership and public speaking with Toastmasters. Because how can you stand up in a room of your 15 of your peers if you don't have the confidence within yourself to speak in front of other people? So it elevates them as women, and it builds sustainability into our program because now it's African women teaching African women, which frees me up to build other countries and partnerships.
Absolutely. And it's so relevant and timely because if they can see someone else is already doing it,
That's it. They
there's
inspire the younger person to come through, right?
no reason, as
But
you
we've
said.
also reached out to organizations where we see a need. So we may not give them, the cameras that the girls have because we're limited in funding. But what we do is open up our portal to any organization out there who's serving young women, young girls. So we're in three refugee settlements now in northern Uganda. One specifically in Bidibidi Refugee Settlement, we've paired with an organization. And this past June, I brought them five cameras. They're sharing those five cameras amongst 35 women, but five of them are already working outside of the refugee settlement, and the rest are learning storytelling. And we've paired this with their organization and getting them supports from other organizations to help fund them so that they can keep going. And so I don't see cameras for girls as only a one avenue to get in. We reach you wherever you are to say, look, do you need to tell your story? We want the world needs to hear your story. Come and learn how, just on your smartphone or on your camera, whatever it is, whatever the tool is. It's a tool for empowerment, not empowerment, because empowerment means they have no power, right? And it's again steeped in colonial language. Empowerment means I'm bringing out that power that's already inside you, and there's a huge difference.
Absolutely. One of my mentors, Rachel Hillier, talks about inner standing versus understanding. And I like
And it's
that.
all in the language we use, right? And we
It
use
is.
so much.
And as we've shared in our earlier discussion, words and the power of language, that's all of, that's my passion, right? When I started, when I first came from Canada, from England to Canada, It was with a British training company that was hiring and training sales reps. And then after I married my first husband, got to explore Calgary, moving up here and working with a high-tech startup because they didn't want to do the sales travel anymore across the country, which was part of that job. And was using, again, communication skills because I was doing a lot of attraction, retention, recruitment. We interviewed and hired about 6,000, I interviewed and hired about 6,000 people.
Whoa.
And so, moving from a junior role of sort
Yeah.
of admin role all the way up to a VP of a global talent management firm in my career, it's all been about communications and powerful language. So along the way, I did write a book, and we'll actually we have a video from the launch of that book, which will air in just a moment. And for those who are listening on bbs.com versus looking at any of the videos or later material that I'll share a bit later, you can tap into to watch the video by going to my website. And there is links there. So the website for my work is yvonnesilver.com, pretty easy one. And if you go to the free gift tab, you can actually pick up as my gift to you today, a complimentary copy of chapter 8 of the book. It's a PDF download that you can pick up, and you'll get invited to join the Women of Wisdom VIP community, which means that you'll get updates saying, hey, who's my next guest on the show? Is it a live show? Is it going to be airing on the radio? What's the scoop? What's the dial-in number? So again, if you're planning to dial in with a question, I'll give you the number and then we'll air the video. So the numbers again are either 1-888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. And I'm sure that Amina will be happy to also answer some questions if there are questions about building a not-for-profit, a charitable organization as well, because I have questions about that. So we will be right back. Do not leave because this is an hour-long show and there are some really juicy elements and questions that we haven't even got into yet. So
We're getting there. We're getting there.
yeah, so we're going to take a short break while I air the video that talks about the launch of my book, Words, Women, and Wisdom: The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, which hit bestseller overnight a few years ago. And let's roll that. My show producer will put that on right now.
Ladies, a new book is on the horizon. Words, Women, and Wisdom: The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. This new book is for women ready to rediscover their inner confidence, take a stand for themselves in life and business by using more powerful language. Words are so powerful and already changed history. On October 5th, The New York Times published a story detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment against film producer Harvey Weinstein. And numerous women in the entertainment industry found the courage to go public, banding together with a powerful voice that change is long overdue. Even Oprah Winfrey, television network icon, gave a rousing speech at the Golden Globe Awards in January. The media has showcased the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. The Me Too movement is flourishing and all signaling it's time for women's equality and change. I believe it's time to give women the verbal agility to create more confident conversations. Words, Women, and Wisdom: The Modern Art of Confident Conversations is the book which provides practical approaches for women to ask for what we really want and receive our request.
Hello, I'm Yvonne Silver, certified executive coach and senior HR professional, seasoned in business. I teach women to flourish in business by using more confident language to help empower and engage others. This book is the result of over 35 years of my career, professional career, working in 4 different countries. I've interviewed over 6,000 people in my career for job interviews, executive coaching, for sales and consulting conversations. And I've listened to hundreds of women in particular who are looking for a better way to collaborate. They're looking to be asking for what they really want and heard and validated, especially in business. And women often earn less than men for doing exactly the same job. It's 2018. It's time for change.
The Modern Art of Confident Conversations explores words we use at home, at work, words that trip us up, elevate us, and encourage us, and when no words are even required. It is about how to leverage the power of words in a positive, in a collaborative and impactful way. Now I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are empowering other women and leading through mentorship programs and my coaching, public speaking, interviews, and writing. I'm passionate about women's equality. Why? I grew up in England in a house with a flow of negative comments from my father, which destroyed my mum's dignity until she became an empty shell of the vibrant woman she'd once been, belittled by constant criticism and questioning of her abilities. Through my own life journey and supporting hundreds of female clients, I've discovered critical words to ask to get what we really want collaboratively. I know there are critical links between our language, our behavior, our mindset, and our success in life. Words from a song can replay in our head for hours, and poetry can bring a lump in our throats. I've combined my insights with interviews from influential women, sharing their pearls of wisdom, supplemented with research and reference studies from established scholars. Women are rising up. It's time for women to be heard. Let's use more powerful, positive language and join the rising tide of change. This book is for you, a woman looking to the future, ready to embrace significant positive changes in your life by using more confident language. Eliminate those words that drain your power, add words that energize and invigorate, and shift from ordinary to extraordinary. Just one word can change your life. I believe every woman needs their own copy of this powerful book. It's time for action and time for change. Order and reserve your own copy of Words, Women, and Wisdom today.
You can pick up a complimentary chapter. Chapter 8, actually, is when no words are even required. So that's looking not at the language so much as your energy, your presence, how you show up. You know, even putting a jacket on with a collar can have a major different impact in a meeting. Certainly in North America, I'd be interested in seeing how some of these principles apply. But picking up that free gift, you can do that at yvonnesilver.com. Pick up the free gift tab. And it's also an audiobook now on Orsound as well, using my English accent, my dulcet tones. So we're coming back and we're talking today. If you missed the first half of the show, we're talking with Amina Mohammed, who is the founder for Cameras for Girls, which is doing some incredible work globally, making a difference by giving girls the tools to not only have more confidence, but to find employment and use the power of ethical storytelling to have jobs, to have the opportunity for expansion and growth, and to really step out of what I consider to be outdated cultural practices. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but it blows my mind, Amina, to think that women today and still in different parts of the globe are treated so differently. And yeah, the freedoms that I enjoyed coming from England to Canada, it wasn't that different. I mean, the language is mm-hmm. the same, but different. But again, it was a similar culture. So what has been some of your biggest learnings as you listen to the girls and have been able to incorporate, you know, what are they saying about the program?
So we get feedback, a lot of feedback, which is great because we put surveys out or we ask them, like, how has this helped you? And one of the girls recently shared with me, actually, she made me cry, and I might cry again, but she took the training in 2020, I think, or is it 2022? Finished in 2023 and then sort of disappeared, and I couldn't find her and she wasn't responding. And what she had done was take the camera that I had given her, went around to like mentors that she had in her life, and she said, "Look, if you help me to purchase or rent more cameras, I'm going to go back to my village, which is a rural village outside of the capital city, about 2 hours away, 3 hours away, and I'm going to teach young girls how to build their voices." So she did exactly that. She worked with 15, I think, young girls through an organization that she co-founded with somebody else called Dream Girls. And she started teaching them how to build up their voices. She started teaching them photography. She started teaching them filmmaking and storytelling and everything that she had learned from Cameras for Girls. She basically took and paid it forward. Today, out of the 15, she's been able to place, I think, half of them in photo studios so that they can intern and learn photography by a mentor and get out of poverty and build their voices. And then again, start that ripple effect of paying it forward again to another girl, right? And that's what we want to do, is continuing to build that ripple effect of change. So one girl can get skills and then look around her community to say, oh my God, I've been empowered. I now have these skills. I can take this tool and the skills I've learned, and I can pay it forward to another girl who may not have the same opportunities. So Joyce, one of our trainers in the trainee program, Train the Trainer program, has done exactly that. She has become a sports photographer, and she's taken, I think, four or five young women under her charge to help them do the same. Because as soon as she walks on the soccer pitch, she's known for her skills. But she still gets the same messaging of you don't belong here, this is a man's world, and all that other garbage. And I've taught her how to be strong in herself, stand there in her power, do the work, and ignore the fray, because it's never going to go away. But what I've learned the most is that our mental health struggles are their mental health struggles and the same. And where we talk about mental health in Canada or in North America, we can turn around and seek out free supports, or we can talk about it to somebody, or we can share with our families and our friends. In the developing world, women are subjected to stigma and shame and lack of support. And so, while it is not in our mandate to do mental health, I've taken it on as a personal mission to find supports through my global community of women, through the Vital Voices community, because I'm a Vital Voices fellow. To say, who out there is going to come on this journey with me to support these young women in Africa to find that mental health support? And I have had two women step up, and we're developing something together, and they're going to find the funding. And that leaves me with a lot of hope. And I continue to learn through their journeys and through their sharing and through what they're doing about how my own, reflections, or how my own language, or how my own perceptions or reactions to things have to be put into check, because they don't live my world and I don't live theirs. Even though I'm from that background, doesn't mean that I live there and I am subjected to what they are going through on a daily basis.
So was that the idea that started the train the trainer concept, or did you have that in your plan anyways?
No, so the thing that really spearheaded the Train the Trainer was that I wanted to grow this impact, but how can I do it as a lone founder, CEO, wearing too many hats, also main trainer, and then think of I was going to train by myself another 75 plus, expand to Kenya. It was undoable. So that's why. And then I was also looking at impact is one thing, but how do I make it sustainable? How do I make it a program that eventually or essentially is run for African women by African women, not a expat or not a person who once lived there, right? But now is firmly planted in Canada. So that was really the impetus for starting a Train the Trainer. And we'll take a break next year because we're going to continue to work with these trainers and then immerse them into different cohorts throughout East Africa. And then we'll start it up again in 2027 or 2026 in Tanzania, because we'll have built up that cohort of women, and then do the same. And everywhere we go, as we build up the cohorts, we'll have more women who have that inner drive to be leaders, or I can see their potential to be leaders, then we immerse them in that program again. So it just becomes another way of spreading that impact, but then looking at impact and saying, how do you actually make systemic change if you're not going to make sustainability at its core?
Right. Because I think in one of our conversations, you mentioned that, you know, coming back from doing the 4-day trip is something that takes some time to really, you know, get back into the headspace of being in Canada and the freedoms and the luxuries that we have here. You want to talk a little bit about the differences in culture?
Yeah, huge differences. I was in July in Uganda and Tanzania. I was supposed to be in Kenya, but the riots broke out, or the unrest, as I should be calling it, broke out, and I couldn't get there. So that was July. We're now in December, and I'm just coming back to normal, and I'll be back in Uganda again in March, April for our expansion. And my family doesn't understand it because they're like, well, you're home. So what? Like, you continue to do your work here or there. What's the difference? The difference is that we in North America, as I see it, always want the brand new thing, always want the latest, right? Oh, my phone is a year old. I'm going to trade it in for a new one. And it's completely working fine. But we always have to have the newest, this, that, and the other. I'm a thrift shopper. And I love that, because I don't need to be into fast fashion to have the latest. I can be creative and, you know, also money mindful by shopping thrift. You go to Africa and they have nothing, and they'll give you the shirt off their back. And the love and the energy around them makes me feel that I more belong in that part of the world than I do here. I get really ticked off when I see people can't give for charity, or can't give, you know, of themselves to a local cause or to support homeless or whatever it is, whatever your jam is. It takes very little to volunteer your time or to give something where you're going to spend the same money, like at Starbucks, on a latte that's going to go down and out, right? And there's no impact. But there, they will find a way to always be giving back, and they have nothing. So it's a huge disconnect. And I always have a hard time. And especially my parents have never gone back because it's too painful. My husband hasn't traveled with me yet, and I've been going since 2018, and we'll celebrate 3 years, 25 years in 3 years. And I've said to him, you want to be celebrating our anniversary, because I'm never home. On our 25th, you'll be in Uganda with me, or you'll be nowhere, because it's important for me to share what means so much to me with the people that also mean so much to me.
Right.
And to also educate them about, you have enough, you don't need more.
Right. So as a reminder, if you didn't join in at the top of the hour, we're talking today with Amina Mohammed with Cameras for Girls, Making a Global Impact. She's done a lot of work in Uganda. She's talking about the expansion that's coming up in other countries, including Tanzania in 2026.
And Kenya.
And just a reminder, the donations are open, not just today on Giving Tuesday, but all year round. There is a button on her website, which is for donations. And that is primarily, you know, one of the mechanisms that allows some of these stories to take root, because the funding is there and the equipment is part of the program. So if you didn't hear the beginning part, it's about providing not just the camera, but the instruction on how to use it and how to turn that into a fee-paying job that validates, gives women confidence, and really gives them so much opportunity to step into their own power and to be providing for their family. Mm-hmm. So the donation link, HTTPS, and then through-her-lens.org And then it's a little complicated spelling, but it's
Raise
RaiseLySite. So raise and then lysite.com through dash her dash lens dot raiseLySite.com. And that's where you can make a donation. So it's been kind of quiet. I thought we would have lots of dialing callers.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this number out one more time in case you joined late. It's either 1-800 number, or sorry, 1-888-627-6008 or 1-323-744-4831. So I'm curious, what surprised you, Amina, about this concept as you got into starting a charitable organization? What surprised you about that?
How hard it would be. I didn't come from the nonprofit space. I came from filmmaking, right? And when I started, I didn't think, okay, I'll go and start a charity. I thought, okay, I'm gonna do GoFundMe. But then I got tons of donors, and they were like, oh, do you have, charity receipt? I'm like, no, I can't because I'm not a charity. And then people would stop giving. So that was the impetus for starting it. And the most important thing about being in the nonprofit space is learning how to find your community, especially when you don't come from this space. And I have dived 100% into that. And when I see people who are new into the space, I'm like, come on with me. Come with me. Let me show you the ropes, because I wish I had somebody who did that for me. When I joined, I had a lot of people who are trying to sell me every single thing I could. And I was like, okay, I guess I have to do this. And I said, no, no, no. And I spent a lot of money for nothing, instead of what I've done since last January, not this year, 2023, is really dive into LinkedIn, find the players who are in this space, whether in Canada, in US, wherever it is, and Africa, and really start to make inroads and build, community networks, all of that stays. And 2 years later, I've got an incredible community of people around me that I can pick up the phone and say, I'm struggling with this. What should I do? And it's a very lonely space when you're working alone, as a founder. And so you have to really find that community, because without community telling you that you've got this, you can keep going, right? Like, there's not one day that doesn't come when lack of funding is always there, and you're trying to meet your mission and your vision, and you're like, ah, right? And you're literally wanting to rip your hair off, and you want to quit. And my husband used to say, I mean, you need to go and get a job. And I'm like, I've got a job, Thomas. It's full time. I work at this. It just doesn't pay. And now I say I want to quit, and he's like, no, you've got this. I've got you. I see the work you're doing. I see the impact you're making. I've got you until you've got this. And so, having that background within your family, within a community of people, and while you're spearheading your programs and your mission and vision, and always keeping mission and vision in line, always.
Right. And I
Like,
think
right?
it's so important. I mean, if you're starting a venture, whether it's
Yep.
a for-profit, not-for-profit, a charitable organization, I mean, ultimately you're still going to have some sort of client who's the end recipient of your services. You're still going to have to manage cash flow, and your revenues either come from your fee-paying clients or they come from donations or special events or grants, etc. I mean, there is so many
Very
parallels,
similar, exactly.
except that many businesses still don't realize the power of the social enterprise element. So for
Right.
me, in my business, for every copy of the book that is sold, a hard copy, donating one back to a women's shelter foundation or not-for-profit, which I do
That's
generally in
amazing.
stacks of 10, right? I can't do it with the audiobook.
Right.
Not set up the same way, but I have some bonuses attached to that for the people purchasing it and a little bit of coaching, etc. But the fact that I do that, little story, I actually had someone pop up on Facebook recently and they said, oh, you're Yvonne Silver, you're the author of Words, Women, and Wisdom. Yes, I am. And she said, I I had that book on the nightstand in the shelter when I was there. And
Wow.
I'm just about to write my own, launch my own book. I have an ebook coming out. I have a course coming out, and things have really turned around. Now,
That's
I don't
amazing.
know what the ultimate impact in how much my book contributed to her, you know, getting things going again in her life. However, the fact that she even remembered and remembered the book title, that was enough for me. It gave me goosebumps. So, you know, working with mentorship programs, I saw the results firsthand. You know, doing, you know, in our first year, we had with the BPW, we had 32 pairs of 32 people in the paired up mentor and protege. And it was hugely successful.
Yep.
And people just love the fact that they can, as you said, find a community, source someone who's been there, done it, and can lead
paying
them
it forward. You're paying
you don't
it
even
forward,
know what
right?
the questions. Yeah, you don't even know what the questions are half the time to ask, right? Which is also why I love coaching, because again, it's holding space.
Yes.
Do the work for someone, much
no,
as
with someone. It has to be collaborative.
Give them the knowledge, give them the tools, and then it's okay. Now it's up to you to take hold of that and really embed that wisdom and step up, step into that football field or whatever the community environment is. And when you have a when you have a camera around your neck and you are clearly there on official business, it makes a big difference.
A huge difference.
Doesn't it?
Absolutely, right? And but it's just that confidence, like, ooh, I've owned this piece and I know how to use it and I can create this photo and I can create this. Like one of the girls who is learning in that refugee settlement that I mentioned, she's only been doing it for like maybe 6 months, 7 months. She created an image that was just blew me away. I just could not believe it. And that she said that she was watching the videos. She's just watching and watching and watching and wanting to emulate some of the other things that she saw. And then she just thought, okay, well, I've learned composition. I'm going to go and frame this one for, and it was just, I was like, just blown away. And when they can take what you're doing, and sometimes you think, am I making that much of a difference by just teaching? Yes, because I'm opening up a door to her, which at one point was never opened up to me. And had it been, I might've been a better photographer, or I might've been working, like had gone to school for photography rather than, you know, fashion, whatever it was. We all land where we're supposed to. But when somebody opens the door, whether it's through mentorship, which we have that as well, or a program, or just giving a camera, or giving a tool, or giving, you know, a word of encouragement, which many of them don't get, it can change lives. And you don't even know what you've done until people start to come back to you and tell you, well, this is what I'm doing now with it, right? And we have so many, like 80% of our graduates are employed. 80%.
Huge.
Or more, right? And I never imagined when we started this that we would be there. And some people with the glass half full attitude will say, well, what about the other 20%? I'm like, yeah, you can't meet everybody, right? You just are never going to. And I'm proud of it. I really am proud of it. I know. And I hope that will continue for years to come.
So they're working in the sports space. And what would be a few other examples of where they've landed?
So Patience, who took our training in 2019, she was a journalist at the time writing for an online newspaper. COVID came. She was not getting paid, but she kept on going in every single day. But the men were getting paid. And at one point I looked at her when I went back to Uganda and I said, what are you doing? She said, well, that's my job and I have to. And I said, are the men getting paid? She said, yeah. And I said, what does that tell you? They don't value you. So I said, go home tomorrow, pick up your computer, finish that LinkedIn profile that I started building for you like last year. Finish it. I'll find you a mentor. She was the impetus for our mentor program. I paired her with a mentor, and that year she won Travel Writer of the Year in Uganda, now runs her own travel consultancy company, writing and photographing for brands across East Africa, traveling on their dime, and is mentoring another student to do the same in our organization. Brandy, She is now doing her master's. I think she's somewhere in Switzerland or something, but she started not one, but two podcasts. And she has got one of the top ranked podcasts in Uganda and has just recently sold it back to the government because it was all about the government. So she sold it to them, and she's still the host. So, she took the business skills, she took the photography, the training, the storytelling, and she said, "Well, I don't want to do any of this stuff. I want to do this." So we basically meet them where they are. Vivian took our training. She's now in, she's going to become a Rotary Fellow for next year. That was her second time trying, second time success. We worked with a Rotary Club here in Canada to help her refine her application. And now she's applying also for a master's program, which she just got accepted. I mean, there's so many. And what we say to the girls is, what do you want to be? Where do you see your space? Let us help you get there. We never tell them, well, you're in journalism. You should be all journalists. No. Where do you want to be? Where's your skill set? And we'll help you get there. So we'll ref you know, the programming's here, but then we'll pair you with a mentor for 6 months, one-on-one, so you can move from A to Z and meet your goals. And that's
Right.
how it works.
That's beautiful. So much success. I mean, that word should, right? It's like a radar in my head because I had so much of that growing up.
Yes,
And
same
had
here.
this energy of obligation, even if it's self-talk, I should have done this, I should have done that, right? Instead of switching up, making it could, right? It's just a very different way
One
of thinking.
letter.
All of a sudden, it goes from this in this feeling of obligation to possibility and choice just by owning, not should, I'm choosing this. Therefore, now it's an opportunity and it's open, positive energy. That's what the book is all, that's what my book is all about. It's 40 different words and word concepts like that to help women in particular to ask for what they want and get it. So today we've been talking with Amina Mohammed with Cameras for Girls. I highly encourage each of you listening, whether you're listening live at the end of the show today, if you're listening to the replay as well or watching the replay, to go to her website and make a donation. This is a
Thank
powerful
you.
cause, ladies. Ladies and gentlemen, you're making a difference. You're hearing some of the stories and the impact that can be made with very creative ways to look at a distinct issue in the world and make a difference. And if you can make a difference as well as making a dollar, trust me, your heart will be so full. You will definitely be elevating your own passion and lifestyle and purpose as well. So the website again is HTTPS, and then it's through dash her dash lens, LENS. Dot raiseleesite.com. I'll put this in the show notes. RAISE, then LYSITE.com. And please go ahead and make a donation. Amina's doing powerful work, and the expansion is going to rely on donations and funding. And I'm so glad that you are joining us today. In our last couple of minutes here, if there's maybe, two or three wisdom nuggets that you want to share with the listeners about, this whole experience of developing this as a woman entrepreneur and, either being in business or being as the founder of a charitable organization making an impact, what would you like to share in terms of a couple of wisdom nuggets?
I think I would like to share is that, and I think I shared already, is that if you have an idea and it's burning a hole inside your heart, do it. Just do it. Start. And if you are too afraid to start your own, because it does take a lot, look around either internationally or locally to see if somebody's doing something similar and join them in their efforts, right? Because we can always use amazing volunteers who are going to come on to either build awareness, brand awareness, help us fundraise, help us write blogs. I mean, there's so many things that you could work with on a charity with, or reach out to the founder and say, look, I had something similar. Can I pick your brain about how you did it, on how I might do it alongside you or separately, because I have a little bit slightly different idea. I'll tell you one thing, there's so many nonprofits in this world right now. We're all vying for the same funding, which is limited, and every year it gets tougher and tougher. Women's charities receive less than 2% of the funding. And if you're a woman of color, even less than that. So keep that in mind if you're a woman listening.
It's time to make a difference.
Time to make a difference. But you know what? Don't let your idea die on a notepad somewhere. Because then, you know, years later, you look at it and say, oh, yeah, I wish I had done that. Do it now. Do it today.
Right.
Life is too short. It really is. And if you have something that you know can make a difference in the world, either find a partner who has the same belief, do it yourself, or better yet, join an organization that's already doing it.
Absolutely. Or just call me. Just say it.
Or call Yvonne and she'll coach you through it.
Thank you so much for joining me, Amina, today. We're just wrapping up the show. I'm so glad that you came on as a guest. And please, listeners, make sure you make that donation today. And join us for the next Words, Women, and Wisdom show in a couple of weeks. Like the show, check out the website, YvonneSilver.com, and pick up your free gift. And thank you so much, Amina.
Thank you.
Have a beautiful day.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.